That song, it still plays me wrong. Everybody sings along. I need a drink of something strong. That smell reminds me of you too well.
Drunk on Comics, episode 19, starting now.
Hello and welcome once again to Drunk on Comics. This is our podcast that we do about comic books, conventions, other little nerdly nuggets of fun that tie in. My name is Derek. I am joined today once again with brothers Matt and Tony. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Not much.
I gotta stop you for a sec. Derek, Matt, listeners, I have something that I've just found out that I need to get off my chest.
You're not gonna quit drinking, are you?
I don't know. It's something, though, that I've been struggling with for a while and just now been diagnosed with. It's a disease that there is no cure for, but it affects millions of people. Guys, I'm feeling old. I've noticed many a night not being able to bong that last beer or do a body shot off some beautiful girl. It's even gotten to the point where I might consider staying in on the weekends, watching a movie rather than go to a rave.
Oh, you liar. There's no way you'd do that.
I'm feeling it, man. I mean, now, although there are no cures for this dreaded disease of milestones in everyone's life, there are some remedies that can help fight the beast. Those would be taking naps before going out to a giant party, or lots of Gatorade before crashing at night. I think with your help, I might be able to win my battle with old man syndrome.
Now, you're actually, Matt, you're younger than Tony.
Yeah.
But you're both quite a bit younger than me. So, Tony, I think if you look to your elder here and see how I continue to do it.
Dude, after last week, Oktoberfest, this weekend for Pulaski Days, I just can't hang.
Well, you're becoming weak, young Padawan.
I know. I need to...
embrace the dark side. The dark side's stronger.
Okay, I will. But right now, I'm going to sip this beer, take it to wash down my dose of Metamucil, and get through the day. But, yeah. Man, I am not feeling great.
Well, Tony, before you fill your adult diapers, let's get into Off the Shelf. Just a little warning on Off the Shelf. We're going to spoil a lot of your fun.
We're
going to
spoil, like, milk that's been left out on the counter all night.
Pretty much, yeah. So, if
I want to say spoil.
You are spoiled, Tony. In more ways than one. If you guys don't want to hear spoilers, please hit pause now. Go read your books, then come back. Because, like I said, we're gonna ruin things for
you. And, you know, big surprise, we're going to be talking about the conclusion of AVX,
yep.
Which came out on this last Wednesday. So if you haven't read the book yet, you're behind.
Or books.
Get to it.
So before we get into it, Off the Shelf is once again brought to you by Detroit Fanfare, which will be happening October 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Hyatt Regency in Dearborn, Michigan. We are going to be there. We'll have a table there. We will be doing a live recording of our podcast in front of an audience where you can throw stuff at us. Please just, you know, don't make it spoiled, you know, fruit and vegetables or anything extremely sharp. So
marshmallows.
Yes, marshmallows and stuffed animals.
You know,
what else do we like eating? I mean, throw shit that we like to eat.
You can throw cans of beer, but jerky. Don't throw glass bottles, though. Yes. Glass bottles aren't as cool.
It will actually be better if you tossed cans of beer at us than threw, you know.
Yeah. Or you could just pour the beer in, like, a plastic bag and then...
And just carry it up to us.
Yeah, that'd work. Yeah. We'd drink it, I think we would. Especially Tony.
Yeah, I know we'll
be. As he gets old, his eyesight gets bad, and he can't tell the difference anymore.
No. it'll look like your colostomy bag that you're drinking your beer out of, Tony, you old fuck. So... All right, you guys can check out Detroit Fanfare at DetroitFanfare.com. Find them on Facebook. Find them on Twitter as well. Tony, why don't you kick us off?
All right. This week, I picked up Minimum Carnage Alpha. It says it's a one-shot, but then when you look in there, it says it's the first of a six-part series. So I don't know how Marvel kind of messed that one up there. But
there's only one number one of a six part series.
So it's the one shot of number one.
It looks like there's some kind of needle or something, like a syringe on the cover, so maybe they managed just one shot of Carnage.
Well yeah, but see, if you have six one-shots that all tie together, that's more number one issues that they can sell, because number ones sell better.
Yep. Continue.
What this book entails, it comes off of last year's Carnage USA, when he was took over a small town in Denver, Colorado, and symbiotes kind of ran rampant, and just so happens there was a farm that had all these different type rhinos and elephants. So imagine symbiote monsters like that. Anyways, in that book, the Avenger...
farm with a bunch of exotic animals. You mean like a zoo?
Kind of, but it was someone's house. It wasn't a zoo.
Okay.
So it was a farm. Oh. In that series, Spider-Man got the help of the Avengers, and they went and took care of it. This, it seems like it's going to be no Spider-Man. The big players are, of course, Carnage, Venom, and Scarlet Spider.
Who did this book, Tony, by the way? I know Colin Bunn wrote it.
Colin Bunn and Chris Yost wrote it. Carl Kessel with Cam Smith and Walden Wong were inks. Chris Sotomayor was colors. To go on, the credits here is amazing how they had him laid out, because when you open the book, it kind of seems like they're different scenes from, like, a movie. And, like, the
opening credits.
Yeah, the opening credits would kind of just flash. Starts off with Venom finding out that somehow Cletus Kasady escaped from the last series. They had caught him, and they purged the symbiote from him. What they're finding out is the symbiote is bonded into his DNA so well that there's nothing that will
separate
the two. This leaves a lot of questions to be answered, but somehow Carnage has a group of villains that are helping him to get into this Prometheus pit, I believe it was called, which seems like he's saying, I'm sick of this world, I'm sick of Spider-Man always foiling me, I'm just going to go to some other universe and just wreak havoc over there.
Hmm.
And so this is seeming like this is going into the Microverse.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking, that this is where they're going to go, which the Microverse hasn't been explored a lot in Marvel Comics recently. Mm-mm. It used to be Hulk's gone there a couple times where they banished him. Fantastic Four have gone there multiple times. So I'm hoping that's where they're going, so it'll be kind of something more familiar.
New frontier, but one that we've explored before.
One of the best things is it's Scarlet Spider-Man obviously knows who Carnage is. Carnage didn't quite know who Scarlet Spider-Man is, because he was thinking it was Spider-Man. And then when Scarlet Spider just snaps Carnage's neck, Carnage goes, that's not like the nice spider. And then when Scarlet Spider, who has his stingers that come out of his hand, also chopped at Carnage, he's like, I'm starting to think you're not the real Spider-Man. But which was an awesome scene, and it gives a whole different take on, since Scarlet Spider-Man isn't afraid to kill people, yeah, put him up against Carnage, because Peter Parker gets a little too talky, a little less
gun-shy. Oh, I can't fly. Yeah. I'm a spider, and I can't hurt flies.
Well, like I said, it's the starting...
That's horrible.
Thanks. It's the starting of the six-issue thing that's going to then be continued in both Scarlet Spider and in Venom, back-to-back-to-back, and then there'll be a part six.
So it truly is a one-shot. It's just going to, you know...
Well, it's the Alpha, and then, yeah, so it is...
Because the story arc is going to transfer into the different books.
And I have to say, with story arcs, I like it when it's just a two-series, something like this, where you don't have to buy a million books to get the whole story. You can follow one book, and then if it's not necessarily a series, but just a book or two to finish up the whole story, continues into the next title.
Yeah, they did a really nice the Punisher, Spider-Man, Daredevil crossover story arc, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, which was nice, because, you know, it was 3 weeks. You just bought, you know, the extra book.
Yeah.
One extra book, which was nice. So, yeah.
See, but, I mean, with the whole numbering system these days, why even put it in different books? Why not just say, hey, we're going to do the story arc. It's called Minimum Carnage. If you're interested in it, buy the Minimum Carnage title. And then...
Here's the reason I like it, because, honestly, I would not be reading Punisher right now if they had not had that crossover.
Okay.
Because it exposed me to that writer, it exposed me to that artist. I'd been wanting to kind of pick up Punisher, but I didn't know where the story arcs were. I bought it, and I got hooked.
All right, I can see your point that it does bring out new... brings in more artists and more writers on the same story. And
brings in new potential readers
sometimes,
to that book.
Yeah, sometimes awesome, sometimes not a fan. But.
Well, I'll say I didn't know that there was a Scarlet Spider book, and...
Yeah, you did.
When?
You've known about that, because we talked about it with Stegman working on that before.
Maybe
you didn't know it was still running, but...
You might have been drunk at the time.
That's true.
You might be.
Or I was taking...
As your old age catches up with you, you're starting to lose your memories.
Yeah. Great thing, Tony, about getting older, you keep meeting new people every day, so...
So overall, it's a good start to this, this story. Like I said, they jumped into this wormhole, which doesn't quite tell you where it's going, but it's going to be interesting to see this world that Carnage is now going to raise havoc on.
I'm looking forward to reading it. I bought it. I had so many books this week that, you know, I wish I would have known that you were going to talk about it ahead of time, because I probably would have not let you spoil it for me, but now I'm in the boat with all the rest of our listeners.
We can just hear Derek in the background going, la, 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 la.
Yeah, so...
What's next on our list, gents?
I've got Daredevil, End of Days, number 1 of 8, written by Brian Michael Bendis and David Mack, pencils by Klaus Janson, inks and paintings by Bill Sienkiewicz, and colors by Matt Hollingsworth. Now, the little plot background of this book, this is a futuristic, almost a what-if type of thing. And this book opens with Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil, getting into a fight and ultimately killed by Bullseye. There are crowds standing around recording it on their phones and cameras and watching these two duke it out in like a Rocky-style street brawl, with Bullseye ending the fight and ultimately Daredevil's life by literally jamming one of Murdock's batons through his temple in one side, out the other. I mean, it is gruesome. Right before he does this, before Matt's life has ended, he whispers one word, which is Mapone, and that's it. You know, that now from there, you got your Daily Bugle reporter, Ben Urich, is charged with writing the story of Daredevil and ultimately the mystery of his final word. So now, to get into this a little bit, Matt, I think you've read it, or at least had a good chance to go through the majority of it. The opening pages of this are so brutal, it was actually difficult for me to read. And with Daredevil being one of my favorite characters of all time, it was even tougher for me than it might have been for other readers. There was a lot of serious emotion there.
Yeah.
You know. This is obviously, I mean, a little reminiscent of Citizen Kane with, you know, him whispering the word Rosebud.
And is this going to be about his little red flyer wagon?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why he loves red.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the whole, I mean, you're thinking of a radio flyer.
Yes.
But you know, there are things all over the internet that I've seen, which I waited to look at until after I'd written my own review, that people are, you know, calling it Citizen Murdock and, you know, things of that nature. But it's really interesting, you know, but the difference between that movie and Daredevil, we have decades of backstory built up,
mm-hmm.
and I have no idea who or what Mapone is. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the interesting. There's also some social commentary in this book in the beginning that people are literally just standing there recording everything for their own selfish reasons, and not a single person actually helps to, you know, attempt to help Daredevil.
They're New Yorkers. Someone's got to be packing heat. Shoot at Bullseye.
Yeah. You know, so... the art by Janson is amazing, and his long history with the character of Daredevil is very apparent. I mean, he's been working on him, I know, since the 80s. The finishes by Sienkiewicz are just crazy good, and I've got to point out the lettering on this one, because it really does stand out and adds to the story and emotion. And it is done by a good friend of the show, Joe Caramagna, hardest working man in comic books. So... this book is really unlike any other superhero story that I've read out there, and I've tried thinking of something else to compare it to, and I really can't. It's sad, it's dark, but it's not disgusting.
Now, it's 1 of 8. Are they all going to be about Daredevil? Because I thought I saw a bunch of titles with, or maybe that's End of an Era that I've been reading.
Yeah, this is a whole.
This is all going to be Daredevil. Just Daredevil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this book is serious. I mean, it's full of a lot of heart and emotion. Overall, it's an amazing book, and I honestly have a feeling that this book could be to Daredevil what The Dark Knight Returns is to Batman. I know that's a huge what if, and I know I'm taking a big step out there only after the first issue, but it really could add up to something historic. So I'll let you know how things go with issue two.
How many months till he gets resurrected?
Well, it's it's a futuristic thing, so you know, this tells you how it ends.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and you know, Marvel's done that for years and years. Alternate, you know, futures, space Punishers. That sometimes I feel like they need to just get advertised a little bit more as this is, you know, we're in a different continuity, to maybe not confuse the casual reader.
Yeah.
But because I really feel that, you know, the hardcore readers are going to pick it up, whether it's if it's a compelling enough story, whether it's a what if and it's advertised as that or not. I'm kind of curious whatever happened to the Marvel what-ifs. They were always one-shots, and maybe people just felt that they were a little bit too, oh, that was an interesting thought, but I don't need to go into further detail. Whereas now we're getting, like, all these series, you know, a couple, you know, Space Punisher is going to be one of four. One of four?
Yeah.
Right? So you got a four-part what-if of the, with the Space Punisher, and you got an eight-part what-if on End Days here with Daredevil, so.
Well, you know, I think the problem with what-ifs in general is that it was hard for people to buy the issue every time it came out. Because, I mean, if it's, what if the Watcher took a dump, you know, I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, because I hate the Watcher, you know, or what if Fantastic Four, like, I don't follow the Fantastic Four, so why would I buy it? But, I mean, you know, what if Daredevil, you know, used his claws for, like, hot dog sticks? I'd probably buy that because I like Wolverine, you know. So I think that's actually better suited.
Yeah,
that they do maybe a little bit more fleshed out miniseries.
Yeah, I like the miniseries idea. I just want to know, like, it's how can they advertise it or let readers know this isn't in the normal continuity.
Maybe they can have like at the back, like behind the title, have the Watcher peeking his head over, kind of like, you know, like oh, there's the Watcher. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's a what if.
Yeah.
So just an idea for you guys. So. All right, that I tell you though, guys, I highly recommend people go out and buy this book if you like Daredevil at all. It's awesome. So, all right, well, we are going to get into the huge discussion at this point of Avengers versus X-Men, right. The conclusion.
I'd like to start with the versus number six, because one of the things that I've really enjoyed about the AVX crossover this year is the extra bonus material of just the fights.
Mm-hmm.
They were fun books. I love their fun facts. They were all action, great scenes, and most of the battles were pretty cool. But my biggest complaint is that the fight I was looking forward to the most as soon as I saw something had happened in AVX was what happened to Colossus and Magic.
Yeah.
When they canceled each other out, we get Spider-Man planting the idea, they turn and look at each other, big explosion from a distance, and all of a sudden Colossus and Magic. I was like, that's gotta be in the last verses.
And you were talking about that too.
I was looking forward to it. And instead I get Hope and Wanda, which I was like, alright, that's a fight, I guess. And then we got all the bonus little fun fights here. And those were really cool.
That's really where that book excelled, I think.
Number six.
You know, I mean, and there was a cool, you know, the AVX fun fact with the yin-yang symbol in the Wanda and Hope fight. Although they did end it nicely, you know, when Cap comes in and he's, you know, you guys knock it off, quit fighting, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, fun fact that Captain America's level 15 in guilt trips. Yep. And then Hope just sucker punches Wanda.
Level 16 in insubordination.
Yep. I love her dancing around and, you know, being all happy. Tony, what was your favorite fight in this book?
I really, really enjoyed, just because out of any power, I love luck powers. I've always loved Domino and Longshot for having that. So just when she nicks Hulk, Red Hulk, and just that started chain reaction, kind of like a Lucy Lawless, you know.
Yeah.
Tap on the, you know, and he just falls, gets knocked down.
Yeah.
All because of her luck puck.
Domino smash.
Yep.
Yeah. I gotta say, the Cyclops versus Captain America in verbal abuse was just amazing. You know? I mean, they're ripping on Cap for Bucky and
ripping on a Cyclops for your girlfriend.
Yeah, your dead wife. You know? it was one of the funniest things.
I think one of my favorite ones was Spider-Woman versus the X-Women. That was all Hawkeye's imagination.
Yeah, he just sat there. But the best thing was is
the winner you.
That was fantastic.
I think they stole that, though, when we covered the Olympics, and I said that Power Girl and some girls playing beach volleyball, who's the winner? You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were listening to us.
I think they were. I'm gonna take credit for that one, though, because we have it. It's recorded months ago.
Yeah. I do have to say the very last one in there with Squirrel Girl versus Pixie, you know, in that that's how we roll, and they're playing with dice, and they're playing with these little figures, you know, so you've got Iron Man beating Magneto, you've got, you know, Thing beating Namor, and it goes through, and then Thing comes in, and he's like, hey, you know, Puppet Master made those, and he picks them all up, walking out with a box that says, not toys.
Yeah. Is it, do you think we caused that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's fantastic, and it's, you know, Katie Cook has some really cute art on here too, which I think was made that story that much more fun. So yeah. Dan Slott did a nice job writing that. But that's kind of the Versus book. Tony, is there anything else you want to hit on that one before we jump into the other?
No, let's get into the meat.
All right. So, Avengers versus X-Men number 12, written by Jason Aaron, pencils by Adam Kubert, inks by John Delb, excuse me, and Mark Morales. Colors by Laura Martin and Justin Ponsor. So
it did not end how I thought it would end.
How did you think it was going to end?
I thought Cyclops was going to kick the bucket.
And I told you many, many times, Cyclops can't die because he needs to have the guilt of his actions. And I'm sorry, it's the cheap way, and it's not fun to let Cyclops get away with death.
I think this Cyclops kind of sucks, so he kind of needs to die. There's no redeeming qualities.
I think
there's plenty of redeeming qualities, but it's just it's so much bent on his point of view of I did this for my species. I did this for the fact that there was only 200 of us. And at the end, he's at the end of the Uncanny book where Beast tells him that you know there's more mutants coming up, and Cyclops is like, it was all worth it. I'd do it again. I was like, that's a kind of ballsy thing to say, but at the same time, respect for sticking to your morals. I think Cyclops was consistent in this book and where he's been for the last couple of years.
Well, he's only a bitch, but yeah.
The other thing, though, that I had been predicting was how they were going to get the old team to here, and I thought it was going to come out of these pages.
Yep.
That it didn't was a big kind of surprise, which makes me wonder, how are they going to tie that into a story of the normal universe? Because that's a big deal, having the old team come here. Is that the next big event? But I don't think that it is part of the event.
Well, there's multiple ways they can do that. And I think one of the things, I mean, you and I kind of talked about this a little bit, where I think one of the reasons they didn't do that is because now you're basically leaving a cliffhanger at the end of issue 12 to take you into the next story arc, where I'm glad that they had just an end to the story.
Yeah.
You know, now, how could they do that? All of a sudden, you got more mutants around. You know, maybe a mutant with some kind of time travel power accidentally pulls them into the future.
And maybe with all Cyclops' like ramblings and madness, he brought them back with the Phoenix power. And what we'll see is in a future comic book, we'll do a flashback to something that had happened during the fight.
Yeah.
I think there's lots of ways, you know, the House of Ideas has lots of ideas as to how they can get people back into it. So that didn't concern me as much, and I am kind of happy that it wasn't in this book, that the X-Group, because I'm not even convinced that I like that idea. But at the end of round 11, I didn't think that Xavier was dead or wasn't dead, or then I thought, well, maybe the Phoenix power will bring him back.
Yeah. Real quick. He's only dead for...
Yeah, he's only been dead for a couple seconds. A
couple pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I was reading an article with an interview with Jason Aaron and how they said, so you're killing off Xavier. And he goes, yeah, we really felt that of all the people, he didn't really have a place to grow as a character. He had this dream of peaceful existence, and he's been pushing that since the 60s. But now the world is so changed, but Xavier really hasn't changed with it.
Right.
Which I thought that was, okay, that's a, at least you have a reason. And I like that your reason for killing off a character is to develop other character storylines.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a, hey, we're going to get sell a bunch of extra comic books because we'll kill Xavier and then bring him back in a couple months, and that'll sell a bunch more comic books. Although, I'm sure that's still on the table someplace.
Oh, you know he's going to come back at some point.
But I love the fact that, oh, he can come back as a bad guy. Be cool.
Well,
come back as Dark Xavier.
Or he can come back as Onslaught.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Onslaught's already come back, hasn't he?
That was a terrible back series.
Yeah, so... I mean, there were some really fun things in this book too that I really liked. I mean, like when they're fighting Cyclops, and he goes blasts Hulk from Sydney to Sacramento, and
yeah.
Thor from you know the Himalayas to the upper limits of the atmosphere.
Yeah,
you know, it's.
I still need to get one of those smarty pants phones so I can see all those ARR splash pages and see if they were pretty cool. I'll have to go through all my old back issues and.
Yeah, some of those are actually pretty. Pretty decent, and they not that I always remember to use the AR thing, but it gives a different touch to you know, the story.
Well, here's something that I found interesting. When Nova is tackling Scott Summers back to Earth, and he goes, I see your fear, I see your secret, you don't even belong here, do you? I'm curious if that's pointing out something in Nova's the upcoming bringing Nova into this the fold. That he's got some kind of deep secret, unless it's just, my secret is I'm afraid.
Well, the thing is, though, is as with superhero comics, or, you know, superheroes, their secret identity, so he's Nova, but he's not the Nova. He's not Richard Rider Nova, and so maybe he's going to pretend that he is Richard Rider Nova, head of the Nova Corps, when in reality he's not. And that's the only thing I'm thinking that it could be the secret of.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think... besides AVX and obviously the big thing that we were kind of talking about, the mutants are back.
Yes.
And which is going to bring a bunch of possibilities for storytelling. Now instead of mutants coming into age and then going to the school, there's people that are just going to be popping up left and right with mutant powers.
Well, and this is something that I know, Matt, you were bitching about before. Is like, hey, Marvel, why don't you just develop some new characters?
Here's the chance, yeah.
Yeah. And quit bringing back dead people. So
well, and I like my brother Tony had pointed out here that yeah, the mutations are spontaneous and they're happening in people who are older too.
Yeah.
So you could have someone who's lived their entire life, you know, doesn't have to be all these punk kids turn hitting puberty,
yep.
All angsty and stuff, going to school.
Well, and I mean, you think about it. If it's popping up everywhere, you're going to have criminals that are in prison.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have...
Yeah, Captain America already mentioned something. Yeah, last night, out of the blue, a man in a cell block B began vomiting acid. It burned his cell door apart, and he very nearly escaped.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That just means he drank too much.
That's true.
You know, I mean...
Some Everclear will do that to you.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, there's a couple other things about the actual book itself, too. I want to point out, I think that this is some of Kubert's best work. You know, I thought it was... You know, and actually, I thought when I was first reading this that there might have even been multiple artists just because of the different kind of styles at points. But I think looking back at it, it's probably because there were multiple inkers, Kubert being one of them. You know, so I think that kind of makes up for the stylistic differences. But it was good, though, because, I mean, it did kind of give you, at different points, different views. A couple other things in here, though. Wolverine, when they were going after Cyclops, and Wolverine saying, hurting him's not enough, it's time to put him down for good.
Yeah.
I like that because, I mean, he was ready to kill him. I mean, it was nice to see that Wolverine's like, fuck it, you know, I'm taking Slim out.
Well, he even did, he got the chance. He stabbed him straight through the skull, but he was full Phoenix.
Yeah, so...
And pretty much just said, don't... That ain't gonna happen.
But I love the fact that he was there. He was gonna do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that was kind of a
That was my favorite part of the flashbacks in Uncanny X-Men when That was a really good story too, the through the mind of Scott Summers and where he got to now with the full Phoenix Force and going crazy. I really enjoyed And a Man with Claws, and then he'd think of something else, and then there was A Man with Claws, and it built up kind of to where, as I just mentioned, Wolverine stabbed him.
It's so interesting about the fact that one of Wolverine's biggest nemesis is a good guy on the same team as him, or was on the same team of him for the longest time.
Yeah.
And that rivalry, I think, was always amused me, and I liked it.
Yeah, and so, I mean, on Uncanny X-Men, for you guys at home listening, it's Uncanny X-Men number 9. It's written by Kieran Gillen, art by Dale Eaglesham, and colors by Matt Milla. That was, you know, I'm fighting a man with claws, I'm fighting a man with claws. That was awesome. And, I mean, I think it's great, you know, they call it the Passion of Scott Summers.
Yeah. It's coming up, and I think that's going to be a one-shot.
Well, no, that's the title of this issue.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Was the Passion of Scott Summers.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, it's got flashbacks from his childhood, his origin, you know, shit from the past all the way up to current. You know, the one thing that I don't know if I really cared for or not was both of these books basically had the same ending with, you know, Cyclops getting a brow beating. You know, AVX, it was the brow beating from Cap. Here, it was, you know, from Beast.
Yeah.
Hank McCoy. So, you know, I'm like, I guess maybe they were worried that somebody wouldn't be reading both.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to cover their bases. But...
Well, but they also do it in a different way, because at the end of the Uncanny X-Men, Cyclops finds out that we've got more mutants, and it ends with him coming out, crossing his arms because they're handcuffed into an X.
Yeah.
Like as a symbol of defiance.
You might be watching that X-Factor show on Fox.
That's true, too.
You know, so.
But that's nice. And then at the end of the other one, I like that, like, Captain America or Cyclops had said something about, so it's a win all the way around. And Captain was like, no, you do not get to find the silver lining here.
Yeah, you don't get a win on this.
Yeah, you don't get a win. That was nice.
One other thing that I have to mention from this thing is they had earth-shattering power of the Phoenix Force. They had, you know, Wanda with her chaos magic. I really thought going into Marvel Now, it was going to be a bigger lead into Marvel Now. But the only big thing that came from this is more mutants, which is sweet.
Well, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
But with what they're doing with all the shakes-up with the team and, like, how everything's going on, I felt like there was going to be more of a earth-shattering reboot like 52, or the new 52.
The world breaks apart. Well, I like that Hope went around and fixed some of the natural disasters. She didn't, like, fix everything, but, like, yeah. Buildings were still broken.
No, so but, wasn't but Flashpoint, with the whole DC Universe, was totally rewritten.
Yeah, but I don't think Marvel needs to do that.
I know they don't need to, and I know they said they weren't going to, but I figured there was going to be a little bit of something like that.
You thought they were lying.
Wow,
in your old age, Tony, you're just getting mistrusting of all of everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's like all this conspiracy shit going on. But, well, you know, and the thing is, I never even crossed my mind that they would actually do like a reboot, just because, you know, I mean, looking at the previews, things if nothing else, you're seeing, you know, Daredevil's not changing, it's not getting renumbered, you know, Uncanny X-Force is going forward. I mean, there are so many titles that are, they aren't changing, so they're not rebooting the whole universe.
I figured there's going to be something, a catalyst to change parts of it. I want to know why the fuck everyone wears eye patches now.
Because, well, once Sam Jackson got one,
it's the cool thing to do.
Now. Yeah, I mean,
perception is so much better with all the sharpshooters with one eye.
I often contemplated stabbing my eye with a fork accidentally so I could wear an eye patch.
Yeah. Or you could just wear an eye patch.
That's true. I could go from either eye and confuse people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's my final thoughts for going out here. I remember one of the Avengers when they were dealing with the Infinity Gauntlet, and they got the Hood had gotten hold of the Infinity Gauntlet, and finally Iron Man assembled all the pieces, had the complete gauntlet, and he says, I'm going to do something that should have been done a long time ago, and let's wink this out of existence. And so the Infinity Gauntlet disappears. Well, really, he just willed it to the secret hideout of the Illuminati, and he explains afterwards, he says, you know, I know that there's bigger consequences for taking a cosmic entity like the Infinity Gauntlet and winking it out of existence. When you push the universe pushes back. So when I saw that they just declared no more Phoenix, I'm curious how the universe is going to push back on that. If the can they do they even have the power to wish it out of existence, or did they just kind of we'll fracture it up into even more pieces the way that when it broke apart on the moon went into five mutants instead? We're going to all of those.
Well, and maybe that's where all the mutants come from, is little pieces of the Phoenix.
Well, it was interesting because I was thinking back at the very end of House of M, or Decimation, when all those mutants left somewhere. I think it was Hank Pym was talking in like a news interview. He says, it's really interesting because we have people who can control the weather, shoot lasers from their eye, can create fire out of nothing. He goes, energy all has to go someplace. So where does it go? If where did all that energy go when the mutants lost their power? And then there was like, you saw this big flash in the distance, which at the time I thought, oh, that's a new villain. I'm like, oh, is that the Phoenix Force? I don't know. I'll have to go back and look at this. My last point, and then I'm shutting up for a second, is, so if Xavier's dead, who's going to get his Infinity Stone? Because those are the important types of details that I really hope they pay attention to when you take off a character for like the Illuminati that has a, you know, cosmic power entity hidden someplace.
Well, does he leave it in his will to his kid?
I don't know. To Legion?
Yeah.
I know. I heard Legion is going to be making a trying to make his father's dream come true, whether that means as being a bad guy, forcing everyone into peace, or actually doing right. That'll be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. That's just some of the thoughts that I had coming out of this book.
Well, I have a quick couple thoughts of the future now, of what's going to happen. And it all goes back to... well, right now they've debuted it in Amazing Spider-Man number 695 with Madam Web has a vision of the future. And we know that what happened a while ago in the Avengers, there was an image of a future timeline. And pretty much everything has come true. This is the one, just to show you, of Madam Web and some of the things, the futures to come. That looks kind of like X-23 a bit. Is that the Orb of Sentry?
Yeah, it looks like the Sentry's little robot orb guy.
Which, these are, as we were saying, attention to detail, that Marvel has been, as we said, what ifs and futures and this and that, has been actually sticking quite to the story. Going back to the Avengers one...
There's the timeline. I'm going to look at that again in more detail.
Yes.
All leading up to...
You sent that to me, and I honestly, I'm like, what the hell is that?
Leading up to an Ultron war.
Yes. The next big thing that is circled on this thing, they've had on this Heroic Age, Hope Returns, throwbacks. I'm actually going to put the... I'm going to put these links up on our website, so listeners, go to the News and Notes section, and you can see a click to go to these images online. But it's really interesting that they have this laid out. And from what people in the industry have been talking about was Ultron War, you know, where is it coming on the timeline? It might have gotten pushed back a little bit. There's a thing that says, where is Wanda? You know.
They found Wanda.
Yeah, what's in the rings?
What's in the rings? Schism.
Yeah.
That's a waste of time.
So like it says, it looks like Ultron War was going to be the next one, but I believe that got pushed off a little bit to put in this war. But with
Henry's X-Men is listed in there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they've been, at least as far as the comics been doing, and this one came out, what, 3-4 years ago?
No, that was only, maybe 2 years ago. It was when the Avengers, it was right after it was when the Avengers reformed after Siege.
Okay.
It was their first thing was a big time traveling.
When was this? When did this originally come out?
So, like, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
It's in one of the... When they redid the Avengers again, with Captain America being the top cop after Siege.
Okay.
His team, they did a time-traveling thing to fix all realities because time was breaking down. Because basically, Kang was in the future, and he kept trying to beat Ultron. And every time he lost to Ultron, he would just go get another army from the future and bring it back. And Ultron's just like, you can't beat me. So they had to convince Ultron to lose in this future, otherwise there would be no reality left. So anyways, yeah, there's the Ultron War. I totally am looking forward to that. They did in one of the annuals, they brought back the AI sentience of Ultron from space where we last seen Ultron was in Conquest.
Mm-hmm.
So But you're right. This attention to detail that Marvel has been playing, paying, I think gives us... I mean, look how much we're able to talk about it, pointing out things that we've seen in other books. That, to me, is what really makes great comics, is when not only are you reading the story, but you're looking at the art in the background, and you're seeing how that is pointing to a world that is much more complex than just a simple, hey, I read this book because it was $2.
Yeah.
They haven't been $2 for a long time.
No, they
haven't. Not at Marvel.
No. So here, before we wrap up our last thing on the AVX, overall, are you guys happy with the way things went?
I am happy overall. I'm very happy overall.
Good story.
Yeah. So am I.
It wasn't Fear Itself.
Oh, God. There was only one hammer. That was Thor's.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, there were times when the story, I think, slowed down a little too much. There were things that I would have liked to see different. But overall, yeah, I'm happy with the way everything rolled on this one.
Which is surprising, because when they first announced, oh, the Avengers are going to fight the X-Men again, most people were groaning, going, really? Didn't we do this story before?
5, 6, 20 times.
It just shows that you shouldn't judge a book by its press releases months and months in advance before it even happens.
Or the spoilers that Marvel releases the day before the comic comes out.
Well, speaking of kind of, well, not spoilers, but teasers, there's two new teaser trailers, or posters, whatever you call them, for Marvel Now comics.
Yeah, I think it's probably a good time. Why don't we jump into news and notes, and we'll just toss this right in.
Yep. First one that I have up is Savage, and it's got 3 claw marks through it.
That's the Frank Cho one, isn't
yep.
it?
Yep.
Yeah. That one, from what I've read, people are kind of thinking it's probably going to be Shanna the She-Devil. And
Kazar.
Yeah, and Savage being the Savage Land.
That's what I was thinking, but another theory I read is they're ending Wolverine.
Yep.
And Wolverine has recently been being a little more berserker.
Yeah.
3 claws, could it be Savage Wolverine?
He's getting a little bit too animal-like.
Yeah, but I have more of a feeling it is a Savage Land.
See, now, when I first saw it, I looked at it, and I saw the 3 slash marks. I instantly thought Wolverine. But I'm wondering,
maybe that's what they want you to think.
Yeah, but everything I've read, all the clues, it does seem like it makes sense. I think Frank Cho has a history drawing that character, you know, anyway, so I think that's kind of one of the reasons why people are saying that is what it is.
Gotcha. What's the other teaser one?
Well, actually, there's a third one that I forgot. There's one that's coming out, Amateurs. it's got, who's it? Kieran Gillian and Jamie McKelvey.
Mm-hmm.
This one, obviously...
Is it Avengers Academy Gone Wild?
See, well, there are any in Avengers Academy, but Amateurs could very well deal with a bunch of new mutants popping up.
All these new mutants coming up.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Okay. So that one's that one. The one, though, that people are more thinking they have a grasp on is Superior. Where's that link at?
That one, yeah. The Superior one, there's a lot of... Question is whether or not it's going to be the new Spider-Man, because they're ending Amazing Spider-Man at issue 700.
And a lot of the people that are on this...
Superior Spider-Man?
Yeah, like Stegman, Slott.
My morals are so much more superior than yours.
Well, they're wondering if what's going to happen. Number 700 is coming up for Amazing Spider-Man.
Yep.
So that's when they're going to end the series. And on a big anniversary... Usually something big happens. We've already had him reveal himself. We've had him get married, you know, then that
lose
all got,
marriage,
yeah, lose all that. And people are saying a couple of things of, will Aunt May finally die? You know, will that be the big thing that this happens? Will he reveal his identity again?
Aunt May's
not
getting
likely.
Kind of old like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I bet you'd bang Aunt May. I love the fact that you can always tell when he gets up, like, upset, he's just shaking.
I just
his head
ignore.
And talk.
Well, no. Well, to speak of old, what I've been reading the book is going to be is a culmination of Doc Ock. Mm. Doc Ock has been dying for ages in
I heard
the things.
Like that.
I know that, like, last year he battled Iron Man over the brain superiority of it. And he's just an old man of a shell with the octopus, you know, arms and everything. And that's what it's been looking like. Spider-Man has been fighting him recently. Is it going to be the death of Doc Ock?
Okay.
And if so...
Will Spider-Man kill him?
Ooh.
No, I doubt that. Yeah. But some people are pointing out...
What
some,
if it's a choice between saving Aunt May and saving Doc Ock?
Or what if Doc Ock's actually Uncle Ben?
Or what if it has nothing to do with any of that, and okay. Superior means Spider-Man somehow gets Doc Ock's arms grafted onto him, so he's a four-armed Spider-Man again, superior in every way.
Then he's Spider-Octopus.
No, because he's...
Spiders have eight arms.
Yeah,
I realize that.
And he'd be superior. Don't know, that's just one of the things. It could be Uncle Ben, I doubt it, but...
Didn't they have, like, a toy or... No, in the old Spider-Man comic, or TV show... At the finale, when they got all the Spider-Mans together, one of the Spider-Mans had Dr. Ock's
arm. You know, somebody sent me something on Facebook a while ago, and it was like, I think it was a toy. And it was like an Incredible Hulk Spider-Man with six arms. And he's like, what do you know about this? And I'm like, absolutely nothing. So.
Got a little movie trivia news mystery.
All wrapped up in one?
Kind of, yeah, because it's confusing and I have no clue what the hell it's about until the date comes. On 10/11/12, at the end of the movie Prometheus, there was a link or saying, go to this website, and it had a date, 10/11/12.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's coming up this week.
Yeah, on the 11th, right?
Yes, of 2012.
10th month.
So that's just something for, you know, you listeners, if you didn't know about this, if you like Prometheus or not, type in 10/11/12 Prometheus and you'll see a bunch of stuff going on, revolving around that. Some people originally were thinking it's just when the Blu-ray would be released, but that got pushed up, already. That's not going to be that date. Other people are speculating, you know, if this is going to be, part of the Ridleyverse. He's trying to make his movies all be in one giant universe, and there's talks of a Blade Runner sequel being in the works right now. Mm. They've also found on some of the discs, when you're watching the Blu-ray and DVD of Prometheus, mentioning of Blade Runner stuff in there.
Yeah,
whether it's just a nod to it, or if it's really saying it's going to be in the same universe. Huh. They're talking about Peter Weyland, the main character that started this whole Prometheus drive, you know, in the movie, would put him around the same, you know, years and age of when Blade Runner came out. So that would be kind of sweet if that's what 10, 11, 12 is.
It would be really sweet if you're going to have the Ridleyverse, as if it's tied in with the old Tom Cruise movie Legend, so you can have unicorns and Tim Curry playing Darkness. Coming into it.
Darkness Returns on 10/11/12.
Yeah, that would be the shit. I'd be down for that.
Well, you know what's going to be really sweet for TV is S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I got some movie news when we're done with this. Some movie news I'm very happy about, but go ahead with the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. Matt, have you seen this?
I did see. The S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to, it's not the old, like, with Michael Chiklis, wasn't he?
With the Thing.
The Thing. He was in the show called S.H.I.E.L.D. This one's actually going to take place with S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. You've got your quartet of agents that have special missions. It's not directly tied to the Marvel movie universe.
Nope, these are agents that are being scripted for the show. Yep.
But they said that, you know, they don't rule out the fact that maybe you get a nod from Samuel L. Jackson, maybe on a voice recording, or possibly Maria Hill. Oh, what's her name? The actress's name?
Kobe Smulders.
There you go, Kobe Smulders coming in. She'd probably be likely since she's already on TV.
Well, and they had...
she might be able to help Agent 27 find his... he met his mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Item 47 was a little, you know, extra that they had on the DVD.
And it's only on the Blu-ray version.
Well, you guys haven't seen it. I have. Basically what it is you've got...
Don't spoil it for me.
Yeah, that's what I do. I ruin everything. You've got a couple that, you know, a young guy and girl who find one of the weapons left over from the aliens. Yeah. I can't remember their names all of a sudden.
Chitauri.
Yeah. I'm way too drunk. But anyway, they managed to find the one item that still works. And it's one of the big ray guns. And so they just start going around robbing banks. Nice. And S.H.I.E.L.D. tracks them down and actually ends up hiring them.
Okay.
So you might actually have some of the characters from that might pop over.
That's cool.
I think the most important thing to speak about this, though, is Joss Whedon is kind of creating this.
Yeah. Joss Whedon's definitely got his hands on the project. Yeah. But he's got his hands on all the Marvel-related projects as part of Phase 2. And I recently rewatched The Avengers this last week, and I had forgotten how many times they mentioned Phase 2
yeah.
during the movie. At the very beginning, Samuel Jackson's like, get everything that's related to Phase 2 out. And when they're on the helicarrier, they're talking about Phase 2. And I was like, why did I miss this? How did I not see this glaring me in the face?
Yeah, yeah. So, little movie news that made me very happy. Apparently, Ben Affleck has been approached about being involved in the reboot of Daredevil, and he said no.
Aww.
Yeah, so...
He said no. What a big boy. He's getting so old.
Well, you know, and I got to give him some credit here, because he said that having him involved would not be a reboot.
It's true.
So, there's
that. It'd
be
a sequel.
And he actually, he did an interview, I think it was with MTV, if I remember where I read it, where he actually dogged on his own movie, saying, you know, he goes, I did it. He wants to be in a comic book movie again. But he goes, I had a chance to be in a comic book movie, a property that I absolutely loved, and I didn't have such a good experience with it. And he basically said it didn't come out the way that it should have,
yeah.
That type of stuff. And I mean, I'm summing up.
Gotcha.
But I actually now have a little bit more respect for him, because I thought that he didn't realize how much he ruined one of my favorite characters. But apparently he knows that, you know, he anally raped Daredevil on screen, and, you know. So, I'm glad you know. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. That was my news on Daredevil.
Didn't the rights for Daredevil go back to Marvel?
I haven't seen that it's officially gone, but I thought it was this week. I think that's going to happen on 10, 11, 12.
No, because I was reading someplace that the only ones that they have left are Fantastic Four and X-Men.
Yeah.
Fox has Fantastic Four and X-Men, and Spider-Man still owned by Sony, but all the rest of them are under Marvel's now.
So yeah. Big names. Yeah, I would love to see, you know, mm-hmm. all of them go back together so you can start having cameos,
yeah.
if nothing else.
Yeah, it's just cameos.
So, this week was banned book week.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you mean, oh, yeah, you're a professor.
I don't ban any books in my classes. I think knowledge
you just burn
awesome.
Them.
Yeah. It was,
just burn them for fuel.
It was interesting because the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund put a list up of some of the most banned or challenged comics that were in there. And it's very interesting to see which ones were there that are... A, I've either read, or B, are very popular. Watchmen being one of them.
Yep.
It was challenged because it was unsuited to the age group.
Yeah. Well, and that's most of the comics that are on there really are. They're not meant for kid readers.
No.
I mean, I'd say once you get into high school, kids should be able, you know, they could read Watchmen. But, like, in elementary, junior high libraries, I don't think they necessarily have a place.
Yeah.
But...
Tank Girl was in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to think what Sandman was in there. The Reason Challenge, anti-family themes, offensive language, and unsuited for age group. You know, I thought
anti-family, but the Seven Endless love each other.
Yeah. Mouse was in there.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
Because I believe that won a Pulitzer Prize. No.
You're talking about the one about the cats and being the Nazis and
yes.
the mice being the Jews? Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's a great one for high school readers who are reading about the Holocaust.
They have Irresistible in there?
No, Irresistible's not in there. It might be a little too new. but League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Black Dossier, is in there. In the Night Kitchen by Maurice Sendak, the guy who wrote...
Where the Wild Things Are?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that one. The little boy...
little boy's running around naked.
Naked.
And I guess there were, like, librarians and stuff that were drawing underwear or diapers on him. which I'm like, okay, that's stupid. Dragon Ball is in there. Bone by Jeff Smith was in there because it was promotion of smoking and drinking. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just...
I thought the teacher's lounge was promotion of smoking and drinking.
It definitely was when I was a kid. Batman the Dark Knight Strikes Again by Frank Miller is in there. And Amazing Spider-Man Revelations by J. Michael Straczynski, John Romita Jr., and Scott Hanna. Reason? Sexual overtones.
Just overtones?
Overtones.
Okay.
Sexual overtones. Yeah. Well,
I mean, thank God they're not undertones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are a lot of overtones there because, I mean, Spider-Man's just wearing that bodysuit. That is sexy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I understand people want to watch out for their kids and stuff like that. I get it. But don't be a dick, you know. That's all I got on that one. Is there any other news and notes, or are we moving on to the next segment here, Tony?
Yeah, that's good for now.
Okay. Well, then, I think we're going to jump into the Indy Turnpike. This week, for those of you that haven't listened before, the Indy Turnpike, we kind of pick up a book that is outside the mainstream a little bit. This week, I have Robin Hood, number 105, and it's Robin with a Y. It's from Xenoscope Entertainment, written by Pat Shand, pencils by Dan Glassell, colors by Tom Mullins and Jason Embury. Now, the issue that I bought had cover art from one of my favorite artists, and I know, Tony, you like him too, Greg Horn.
Mm-hmm, and so, that cover is beautiful.
Yeah, well, Greg Horn's work is amazing. Now, a little background here. There are four different realms linked to Earth where all of our fables and fairy tales come from. You have Neverland, you have Oz, you have Wonderland, and the one that this story deals with is Mist. Now, in this story, there's a baby girl named Robin who was born in the realm of Mist, and she's smuggled away to Earth rather than being killed for simply being born to the wrong people at the wrong time, kind of a thing. As an orphan in our world, she becomes a thief more for the thrill of it than the actual score, and she's drawn back into the Mist realm as a young adult in the hopes that she can help save the people there from their evil king. Now, a couple little talking points on this one. The art is really nice, and, you know, some of the pages are just flat out beautiful. Obviously, the interior art is different than the cover art, but that's kind of a normal thing that happens with Xenoscope. They do like to put out a number of different covers. The thing I like about it is that while they're variants, they aren't necessarily a 1 in 25, or, you know, they're equal numbers, so it's kind of cool. I haven't really gotten much into the Grimm fairy tales before. I mean, I've dabbled here and there. And so this was a really nice introduction to me as far as the basis of the Xenoscope books, as far as how they have these different realms, because it made more sense to me as to how they all work together. I had been slightly confused before. I think it's a cool reinvention of the Robin Hood character. And so if you like fantasy, and you like pretty girls, and you like it mixed with a little bit of mystery and some really solid writing, check the book out. You know, I'm pretty much a sure thing that I'm sticking on this for the full 5 issues.
It's interesting, towards the end there, she's wearing an eye patch.
Well, it's not actually an eye patch. She has a... in the story, she gets attacked on Earth, and the guy gouges her eye out, and when she's pulled in...
Yeah.
Oh, I guess she is wearing the eye patch.
Yeah, but she is wearing an eye patch when she gets drawn into the world. So.
Yeah, I was thinking that when she goes into the Mist realm, then she has the golden
eye. Then she has
eye.
Cable's eye.
Yeah, which is sweet. So it's a pretty cool book. I'm definitely going to keep picking them up from there. So that does it for Indy Turnpike. Tony, you got some interwebs at all today? No, well, we kind of talked about some stuff on there that we're going to put links up for.
MySpace.
MySpace? Yeah. Everybody go to MySpace. Yeah. All right, well, then we're going to jump into Booze in a Book before we wrap things up here. This week for Booze in a Book, I read Non-Humans, number 1 from Image Comics. It's written by Glenn Brunswick and art by Will Spertatio. I know I've been on a shorts kick for a while, so this is going to be the last week I do shorts beer, but they're a great brewery, but I'm mixing shorts bloody beer with this book. And the bloody beer is an ale that is brewed with Roma tomatoes, peppercorns, celery salt, and horseradish. Basically all the kind of stuff
Bloody you have.
Bloody Mary. It's also got a 7% alcohol by volume on there. So, now, both the beer and the book are good, and they are truly unlike anything else that's out there. And they're both somewhat confusing. But not so much that you can't finish them. So, I would suggest that you enjoy both of these in moderation, because I think more than one of each might leave an odd taste in your mouth. So, that's my pairing this week for Booze in the Book. We got last call on a couple comics that I do want to give a shout out to that we didn't have time to get to. Amazing Spider-Man 695. Tony, you kind of mentioned it a little bit. It's the start of the final arc of Amazing Spider-Man. So we've talked about wanting to jump into arcs before. Now's your chance. Black Kiss 2 number 3 is really starting to tie those issues together. So now I'm actually enjoying it a lot more. Green Lantern number 13, the new Green Lantern, starts in this, and so I picked that up. It's good. Homecoming number 2 from Aspen Comics, great book. Uncanny X-Force number 32 from Marvel, another great book. So if you guys are looking for other stuff, put that on your menu for your last call. Got anything else you guys need to do?
No, we got to get Tony. It's almost past his bedtime.
Yeah, I know that he's got a... Well, we got to get him walking around, otherwise his joints really stiffen up. I mean, especially with the weather change, and you know, we're probably gonna have to change his Depends here pretty soon. Know.
Snap time.
I heard him and Stan Lee are gonna go play bingo later on.
Yeah. I need Stan Lee to give me some of his super soldier serum.
Yeah, we gotta take Tony down to the store before his stories come on later. And I'm sure he's got a real rough game of shuffleboard this afternoon.
Yeah, and then sit at home with a cup of tea in 60 minutes.
Get your rocking chair and tell the kids to get off your grass.
Blanket over your legs.
What a day you have in store.
Yeah, so, guys, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us not on MySpace. You can find us on Twitter. Also, go right to the source, drunkoncomics.com. I think that's going to do it for us this weekend. So, gentlemen.
Stay nerdy, my friends.
What the fuck was that?
It's the most interesting man in the world telling everyone to stay nerdy.
Okay.
Stay nerdy.
Tony, would you like to please one-up him?
Live free, die young.
No, you're already old, so you're fine. All right, guys. My name is Derek. On behalf of all of us here at Drunk on Comics, keep reading your books, and we will be back again next week to talk about them later. Hey, Tony, where's your Metamucil?